Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Tomorrow marks the 15th presidential inauguration in Ireland and the swearing in of our 10th head of state. Now, the disparity there is due to the fact that people went for two terms, but they still had to be inaugurated for their second. Simon Tierney has been investigating the evolution of Inauguration Day over the decades, and he's with me now. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the British and the Americans are perhaps most famous for their pomp and ceremony when it comes to official state occasions. Inauguration Day in Ireland for new presidents has tried to make a stab at pomp as well. We'll see all of that playing out on our television screens tomorrow. But has it always been that way?
Well, Inauguration Day in Ireland is really the most ceremonial event in the country, even though it happens so rarely. The presence of all the pillars of the state at Dublin Castle, the judiciary, the Oireachtas, there's always been an emphasis, I suppose, on creating a fuss to underline the significance of the moment. You know, the presidential motorcycle escort carried out by the 2nd Cavalry Squadron, trumpet fanfares, guards of honour, the flag-waving crowds, at least they are hoped to be there, and the traditional 21-gun salute. Pat, what's interesting for me about all this is how it's sort of an adaptation of our imperial past under the British Crown. Dublin Castle, where it all takes place tomorrow, of course, was the seat of the Viceroy originally. And the presidential chair, where the inauguree sits, was actually a throne that had originally been made for Queen Victoria's visit to Ireland in 1849. So in many ways, the event is a sort of Republican reimagining of a coronation.
Now, tomorrow's inauguration will take place in St. Patrick's Hall in the castle. That's actually where the declaration took place a couple of weeks back. Will you take us back to the very first time a president was sworn in there?
Yeah, sure. So we have remarkable surviving footage from Sir Douglas Hyde's inauguration in 1938 from the Associated Press. And in the film, you can see the crowds lining the streets as the Free State's first president makes his way from the castle to the arras in an open-top car. Hyde later casually smoking a cigarette on the steps of his new residence, showing off his enormous moustache. You have to Google it if you haven't seen it before. It could really rival that of Hercule Poirot, Pat, as was, of course, the fashion of the time. Let's have a listen to that footage.
Era, as we must now call Ireland, elects its first president under the new constitution. He is Dr. Douglas Hyde, here seen with ministers in Dublin after the brief ceremony. Dr. Hyde is not only a poet and a Gaelic scholar, but also a Protestant. After his election, he goes to luncheon with the ex-president of the Executive Council, Mr. de Valera, now called the Taoiseach. Mr. Sean O'Kelly, Minister of Local Government, is on the right.
And the man on the right was ambitious to occupy that role.
He would
role.
Become president,
indeed,
of course.
Indeed, he would.
Yeah.
So that was the very first presidential inauguration back in 1938. The formality of the occasion, interesting, because it's not just the pomp and ceremony on display. The dress code has evolved over the years.
Yeah, so when Michael Dee was inaugurated in 2011, he was actually the first male president not to wear a top hat for the occasion. But now, this is significant because the tradition of morning suit attire made international headlines after the inauguration of Dev in 1959. I found a headline in the New York Times which reads, "Irish sensation, Dev's top hat. By consenting to wear a symbol of the English ruling class at his recent inauguration as president, the champion of Irishness signalled a new chapter in his career." Here's how Dev's inauguration was characterised on the newsreels.
In St. Patrick's Hall, Dublin, the sequel to the election, the inauguration of 77-year-old Eamon de Valera as President of the Republic of Ireland. It was the climax of a great career. The man who had spent a lifetime in the cause of Irish nationalism now received all the honours due to the nation's third president. great day in the capital, which paid its tribute throughout President of Lira's drives, both before and after the ceremony. His long and stormy political career was over, as he now took office as head of the state.
And that's Eamon de Valera's first inauguration in 1959. Now, the thing is, when you look at the old images of past inaugurations, you can't fail to notice a fairly heavy presence of the clergy. Now, how has that aspect evolved?
Yeah, well, this is intriguing, Pat, because until Patrick Hillary's second inauguration in 1983, the day always began with a church service in either St. Patrick's Cathedral or St. Mary's Pro Cathedral, depending on whether the new president was Catholic or Protestant. And as a cost-cutting measure in the recession-hit 1980s, it was actually incorporated into the Dublin Castle formalities itself. And traditionally, you would have representatives of the different faiths in attendance. But in 2011, and be interesting to see if this happens tomorrow again, a humanist minister was added to represent the non-religious, despite the fact, of course, that the presidential oath still requires an affirmation of God.
Now, I've no doubt that the likes of the Archbishop of Dublin, John Charles McQuaid, featured in the mid-century inaugurations, given the influence he had, for example, on Dev's constitution.
Absolutely, yeah. And this next piece of audio gives an insight into all this during the inauguration day of Sean T. O'Kelly in 1945, who we mentioned before. What's so striking about this footage is that it's Archbishop McQuaid that's really treated like the king, not O'Kelly. There's a boy dashing after the Archbishop carrying his train while the new president looks comparatively normal.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The inauguration ceremony was but the fulfillment of the desire of the Irish people that Mr. O'Kelly should become first citizen of the state and the guardian of the Constitution. Church and state join in doing honour to the occasion. Solemn votive Mass of the Holy Ghost is celebrated in the Pro Cathedral, Dublin. Here we see some of the distinguished congregation leave at the close of the church ceremony. His Eminence Cardinal McGrory, Archbishop of Armagh. The Apostolic Nuncio, Most Reverend Pascal Robinson. Most Reverend Dr. McQuaid, Archbishop of Dublin. The President-elect and Mrs. O'Kelly. The Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, and other members of the government.
So that was the inauguration of Sean T. O'Kelly in 1945. Now, Simon, will you bring us into the modern era? I imagine that the inauguration of Mary Robinson in particular began a new chapter in how the whole event was managed.
Yeah, so what's so striking about the images and the footage of that inauguration is how Mary Robinson, as a woman, resplendent in royal purple, if you remember, was surrounded on the stage by many old men in dark suits, Charlie Haughey, Garrett Fitzgerald, the Chief Justice. And this imagery and her speech on that day in Dublin Castle, I suppose it heralded the beginning really of a new era in this country, Pat, and not a top hat in sight. Apparently, Nick Robinson, the first gentleman, didn't like morning suits, and so the tradition was ditched. Now, here's a snippet from President Robinson's famous Manon na hÉireann inauguration speech. When you listen to this, I think it's worth bearing in mind, Pat, that much of the ideals of inclusion that she references are still aspirational at that point. It would still be 3 years, for example, before the decriminalisation of homosexuality.
Citizens of Ireland, Manon na hÉireann, agus Fir na hÉireann, you have chosen me to represent you, and I am humbled and grateful for your trust. The Ireland I will be representing is a new Ireland, open, tolerant, inclusive. Many of you who voted for me did so without sharing all my views. This, I believe, is a significant signal of change, a sign, however modest, that we have already passed the threshold to a new pluralist Ireland. The recent revival of the old concept of the fifth province expresses this emerging Ireland of tolerance and empathy. As a woman, I want women who have felt themselves outside history to be written back into history. In the words of Yvan Boland, finding a voice where they have found a vision.
And that was Mary Robinson in 1990. Now, one curiosity associated with the inauguration is the presidential state car. And there is an intriguing story behind this, I believe.
Yeah, well, the car most associated with the president is the famous 1947 blue Rolls-Royce Silver Wraith Landaulette. But before this was purchased by the state, Sean T. O'Kelly, our second president, he insisted on the use of a horse-drawn carriage, as you do, Pat, much to the chagrin of Taoiseach Eamon de Valera.
He was a man for the Gigi's, though, I think, Sean T. O'Kelly.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear that, because it all ends with calamity at the Gigi's. And Eamon de Valera, he felt, he didn't like this at all. He felt that carriages were synonymous with British royalty, even though he's the one who had worn the top hat previously. O'Kelly got his way, at least initially, parading through the streets of Dublin in an open-top carriage that had actually previously belonged to the Queen Mother, the wife of Edward VII.
But something at the Dublin Horse Show brought a calamitous end to the presidential carriage.
Well, this is the thing. O'Kelly visited the Dublin Horse Show in 1946 by carriage, but his horses took fright at the crowds and actually jackknifed it. I wish we had footage of that. Dev then exploited the incident by bringing in the presidential state car, this beautiful Rolls-Royce, which actually operated until its decommission in 2010. You can see it during public tours of the Arras to this day. Now, President-elect Connolly, Pat, is likely to be ferried around tomorrow in the new presidential state car, an €83,000 2024 Audi A8L. Bring back the Rolls Royce, I say. Now, here's Charlie Bird describing the arrival of Mary McAleese at Dublin Castle 28 years ago this month, Pat, the last ever occasion that the famous Rolls Royce was used.
Six previous presidents used the famous blue Rolls Royce on ceremonial occasions. Today, just before noon, and in keeping with tradition, it brought President-elect Mary McAleese to Dublin Castle for her inauguration. As it swept into the upper castle yard, the school children from all corners of the island gave the next President of Ireland a rousing reception. Some 600 guests were packed into the famous St. Patrick's Hall for the inauguration ceremony itself. They included political, church, business and community leaders. And a sign of the times, sitting side by side in the front row were the Northern Ireland Secretary Mo Molam, John Hume, Gerry Adams, Lord Alderdice and Senator George Mitchell.
And that was the late, great Charlie Bird reporting for RT Television on the inauguration of Mary McAleese in 1997. And Simon Turney, thank you very much for that fascinating report.
Thank you, Pat.
All right, lots to come. Sir Douglas Hyde, the report called him Dr. Douglas Hyde, and he himself ever only signed his documents as Douglas the Hede, Irish historians re-anglicising the names of those who championed the revival of our Irish is an act of recolonising. Simon, what do you say to that?
That is interesting. Yeah, he was a Gaelgor, just like our new president tomorrow.
He signed himself Douglas the Hede, but I mean, when I was growing up, he was always known as
Dr. Douglas Hyde. Yeah.
We also need to have elite troops in some kind of traditional uniforms to grace these occasions. Sean T. O'Kelly had mounted hussars. Every other nation in Europe has some form of this kind of display, even the Russians. And we know how they despise their imperial past. I served in two Cav Squadron for over 20 years and was involved in a number of inaugurations. The effort behind the scenes is huge. Timings planned out, cleaning, polishing for weeks in advance. Doesn't matter who's going to win, they have to prepare.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of prep done in Dublin Castle, of course, as well.
Indeed. Anyway, Simon, thank you very much for that report.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.